Dr. William R. Glaze will have a live Facebook event Tuesday, April 18th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. During this live event, Dr. Glaze will address the topic, The Bible Under Attack. Many people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the Bible is riddled with mistakes and contradictions, while others believe it has been tampered with, it is outdated, and has no relevancy for today. There will be an opportunity for you to post your questions or comments, and Dr. Glaze will respond. You can access your Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com/anchoredinjesusministries. Make plans to join Dr. Glaze on Tuesday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his series titled Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the believer's role in evangelism.
Amen. As we have looked at this series, the title of the series is Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. And as you can see that the evangelism fires are burning low. Now, we talked about the fact that there are three components to a fire, that if you don't have one of these three components, you won't have a fire, that there has to be fuel. There has to be some substance for the fire to feed off of. There has to be heat that causes the fire to move and spread. And there has to be air that gives oxygen to the fire. Well, there are three elements of the gospel when we think about evangelism. There's the fuel, and we talked about that at length last week. The fuel is the gospel, that we have the message. We have what we need to put on the fire. We said that the heat, that's us. That's the believer. That brother that you saw in the video, he had the gospel. He had the fuel. He had the message. But he also had the heat. He had the passion. And that's what God is looking for out of all of us. He's looking for us to have a passion. That's not to say that we go around and hold out our Bible and that we are beating people over the head with the Bible. No. But in our heart, that we have a heart, that we have a passion somewhere in our heart to see the lost come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then how do we go? We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't go in our power. We don't try to do it in our strength. But we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the air. So the first week, we looked at fanning the embers of evangelism. Last week, we looked at understanding the gospel. So we said that the gospel is the what? Good news. All right, that was kind of weak. Let's do that again. The gospel is the? All right, which is the? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So you understand the gospel. So that lesson last week was not in vain. So today we want to look at the believer's role in evangelism. The believer's role in evangelism. So if you go to that next slide, as we look at the four entities of evangelism, there's the seed, there's the soil, there's the sower, and then there is who I call the supreme harvester. There's the seed, the soil, the sower, and the supreme harvester. Now, if you look in your notes, we've been asking this question every week. And the question is, if a person was lying on the ground dying and asked you, how can I go to heaven, what would you tell them? That is a question that we've been challenging ourselves with every week. So hopefully by this third week that you understand what they need to hear, and that they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we also ask you to be in prayer about some unsaved person that God would put on your heart. Somebody that is lost, that you might be able to minister the gospel to. And so we ask you to commit during this time of this series to be open to how God would use you in a person's life, whether it's a relative, a co-worker, neighbor, whoever it might be, that God would lay somebody on your heart. And we're going to do, as I said earlier, a whole message on just prayer. So that's going to be one of the key elements in this whole idea of evangelism is prayer. So you want to put that person that God lays on your heart, you want to put them on your prayer list. And you want to begin to pray for them. So let's unpack this message today by beginning and looking at the seed. So the first thing we see is the seed. And the seed is, as we said before, the gospel, and the gospel is the good news. Let's look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." So here we see that word gospel, good news, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and in which you stand, by which you are saved." So he said that you are saved by this gospel. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Here we go. "That Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." So we see the gospel right here, and that's what we talked about last week. So the seed is the gospel. Now, let's notice two things about natural seeds, and I have this in your notes. Two things about natural seeds. So you've got the gospel. You've got this seed, all right, that is in your hand. What do you need to realize about the seed that you have in your hand? The first thing that I want to say about a seed is that a seed is dormant. Look at those seeds up there, okay? They're all dormant. They are just a hard substance. But watch this now. Watch this. And each one of those seeds is life. Each one of those, I mean, it's hard to believe, right? It's hard to believe as you look at a seed that in a seed is life. And so when we talk about good news, when we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in that is life. So in the gospel is life. The Bible says that we are, or the unbeliever is dead in their trespasses and sin. Dead. That the folk that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are the walking dead. Now, they might have life. They might laugh. They might joke. They might be vibrant. But spiritually, they are dead. And in the gospel, there is life. And let me share with you, there's a couple kind of lives. First of all, there is abundant life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." They don't have abundant life. They might have fun. They might have a good life. They might have a lot of things happening positive for them, but they do not have abundant life. Only Jesus gives abundant life. So the gospel contains abundant life. But more importantly, the gospel contains eternal life. That Jesus came to give eternal life. And unsaved people don't have eternal life. So what you hold in your hand is life. The gospel is life-giving. But notice the second thing about a natural seed that we can make a correlation into the gospel. The seed, and I like this right here. The seed has all that is needed to produce a fully grown plant. As it germinates in the ground, it begins the process of growing into the plant when it will be fully grown. That all you see right there is a seed. But you take that little seed, and in that little seed is what? Is this. In that little seed,
is this. In that little seed is that. It's something that's going to spring up into full maturity. And so the seed, the gospel that you hold in your hand, I don't know about you, but I had no life. I didn't reflect the character, the nature of Christ. But when I got saved and the gospel was implanted in my soul, there was everything there needed to cause Bill Glaze to become a fully mature disciple of Jesus Christ. And so it is for the unsaved, that the seed. Now, let me show you something that's very important. Turn to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Let me show you something about this seed that's very important. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. And so we see here that there's nothing wrong with the seed. All right? If there's a breakdown, oh, hallelujah. If there's a breakdown in the process, there's nothing wrong with the seed. Verse 23, being born again, what? Receiving the gospel, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That the seed that we carry is an incorruptible seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. So now we move on to the next phase of this process, and we see the sower. All right? The seed. Okay. I know I usually don't do this, but let me do it here. Let me get you to repeat after me. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Amen. I like that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the seed. All right. So, maybe this is where the problem starts to come in, right? The sower is you and me, the children of God. Jesus told us in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are laborers in the field. What did Jesus say in Matthew 9? He said that the field is white and ready for harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might what? Send forth laborers into the harvest. Wow. That was Jesus' heart. He prayed that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. So you are a sower of seed. I am a sower of seed. Let's look at that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. Let's go back to verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? There was a little competition in the church. Some people said, hey, man, you know, Paul led me to the Lord and baptized me. Or somebody said, Paul didn't baptize anybody, but somebody would say that Apollos led me to the Lord and I got baptized by him. And Paul says here, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so we need to realize, and let me tell you something, that when we talk about evangelism, let me tell you something that's going to take a whole lot of stress off of you. It's going to take a whole lot of pressure off of you. That I only have two jobs, and that's all I got to do in evangelism, is plant and water. That's all I got to do. Yeah, it's not up to me to save somebody. It's not up to me to try to force somebody to get saved. I only got two jobs, and that is to plant and to water. Go back to that slide once again. As we think about that, I plant. How do I plant? I just share the good news. You know, sometimes and when I'm at the health club, and y'all might be sitting back in the sauna, and you know, I try not to get in folk conversation, but you know, sometimes I'm just compelled to get in to some people's conversation. But I was there a couple of weeks ago, and there were some young guys, millennials. They were talking about how, you know, the government is setting things up, and how that, you know, it's all one-sided, and how that if you don't look out for yourself, that, you know, you're going to end up in disaster. So, you know, I'm sitting there, right? I said, look, fellas, you guys probably don't really want to hear what I got to say. I said, but let me say this, that I trust God. And no matter what happens in the economy, you know, I believe that God got my back. And so one of these sharp millennial guys said to me, well, the Jews trusted God. Look what happened to them. He said, the slaves, they trusted God, and look what happened to them. I said, oh, man, look, this message is not as, you know, as easy as I thought it was going to be to share. And so, you know, what do we need to realize? You know, and I'm kind of jumping ahead to the don't go there, but the soil, because I'm going to talk about the soil in a second. But what I was dealing with was the soil. So I began, you know, to share with these guys about, you know, a relationship with God, and that people that truly trust God, that they might find themselves in difficult times. They might have hard times, but, you know, God will strengthen them through those hard times, and that, you know, in the end, God is going to see them through. And then I got a chance to talk to them, and I said, and I always get this in. I said, but the most important thing is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and believing that he died, that he was buried, and he rose again for our sin. And I just got that in. And that was it. But what did I do? I planted a seed. I planted a seed. Now, we're going to look, see, on the next slide. Like I said, don't go there yet. The seed falls on different kind of soil. But I don't know what kind of soil that was. But I slipped it in there real quick. And I always try to, I was talking to an older guy who had lost his wife. And you know, I was trying to minister to him. And he found out that I was a pastor, and, you know, so we started talking, and I asked him where he worshiped at, and he began to, you know, tell me where he worshiped and tell me what he was putting his faith in, you know, and I basically said to him, I said, well, you know, the most important thing that you can do is receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because he hung on a cross, he was buried, and he rose again, that we might have eternal life. And I said that. And I just, all I did was plant the seed. Now, again, it's not my job to stand there after that and argue with them. If I plant the seed and then they want to continue dialogue, then I continue the dialogue. But if the soil is not right, then at that point, you know, we can go back to talking about the Steelers. We can go back to talking about the weather, whatever you want to talk about. But I've planted the seed. So once the seed is planted, that's my job, to plant the seed. Then after that, I only have one other job, and that's to water it. What are the two things? Somebody plants and somebody waters. Well, how do I water? Once I've planted a seed, how do I water it? Number one, you water it with prayer. Oh, God, touch that person's heart. Lord, I shared the gospel with them. Lord, I tried to make it as plain as I could. Lord, I deposited the seed. Now, Father, I just pray that you would bring them to a place where they would come and realize that Jesus Christ is, you know, as their Lord. And that they pray and accept him as their Lord and say, I pray. The next thing is show love. Now, you've planted seed. How do you water it? You water it with love. So then you plant a seed. And now all of a sudden you getting upset, right? Because they don't respond. You know, it don't bother me that you don't respond. That's not my job. You know, when I put the seed in the ground in the spring, when I'm planting in my garden, I don't go dig it up every couple days to see how it's doing. I just let nature take its work. And so it is that my job at that point is to love you and to show the love of God and to show the love of Christ. What's another way to water? Is serve them. Now again, I'm not saying you'll bow down and meet their every whim, but they ought to see that you are a servant and that you love them so much that how can I serve you? How can I minister to you? You know, one of the reasons people don't want to come to Christ is because they see a bunch of selfish Christians. They see Christians that it's all about them. And if that's what it's all about, I don't want any of that. You know, how do we serve? You know, praise God for the master's kitchen, that we can serve the community, that the people who come on Friday, that we can serve them. When's the last time you served somebody that did not know Christ? You know, we criticize them. We dog them out. I raise my hand because I'm right there too. All right? We do all, but when was the last time we served them? We've planted a seed. I tell you what, you're going to win more people to Christ by the way you treat them than any other way. Once you plant that seed, because they're going to see, man, there's something about this. There's something about this Christian thing. And so the sower plants, waters, and then lifestyle. There's no way in the world. And you know what? Every last one of you have already heard this in some shape, form, or another. Well, you know, so-and-so is the biggest hypocrite down there. You know, look at so-and-so. Look at how much of a hypocrite they are. Once you plant the seed, then you got to live this thing out before them. And you know, I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But you know what? If you make a mistake somewhere that you've planted seed, own up to your mistake. And go and let them know, man, I blew it. You know, I did something I shouldn't have done. And you know, then again, God is working in this situation. And so you got to live the life. So planting and watering takes some thought on the part of God's child. Okay, but I realize that's all that I'm responsible to do is to plant in the water. The night that I got saved, that there was so much planting and watering that had went into me that I went up after a church service and the pastor came and he began to talk to me about Jesus Christ. And that night I asked Christ to come into my heart. And I'll never forget what the pastor said. The pastor said, wow, I didn't even preach a salvation message tonight. And, you know, you came and gave your heart to Christ. Why is that? Man, because somebody had planted and somebody had watered and my heart was ready. My heart was ready. And so we need to realize that we got an important job as Christians. There was an evangelist by the last name of Henderson. And he was preaching at a dock to a group of sailors that were getting ready to go off into the sea. And he preached the gospel, and he preached from Romans 5:1, talking about having peace with God. And there was one of the sailors there, and the sailor was convicted. But he came up to Henderson, and he said, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready to, you know, give my heart to Jesus Christ. And so he sailed off to sea. A couple years later, this guy comes up.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the believer's role in evangelism. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Believer's Role in Evangelism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Believer's Role in Evangelism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Believer's Role in Evangelism. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.